Today is April 28th, and I'm here with Keith Green, and we're going to record until my recorder dies. And then we will pick up where we left off. So what we had decided we would talk about today is what it was like for Keith to be a legally blind employee and ultimately then a ranger, right, at the
yes.
at the south rim of the canyon, of the Grand Canyon. So I'm going to just let Keith start talking about early days, you know, his early days there and what it was like, you know, getting hired and challenges he may have encountered as a legally blind employee and ranger there. And he also was a ranger for a while in Iowa, right, as well.
Right.
And maybe he'll talk a little bit about that also. So, Keith, why don't you start just with when you first went in and applied for the job to just get a job there, right? That was the first thing was you were hired as a dishwasher, right?
Oh, right.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe you want to even go back a little further and talk about you went in and you just sat down in somebody's office, as I recall. Did you, there was like a human resources kind of?
Yeah, there was well, I was hired, I was in Oklahoma, at the University of Oklahoma, and there was a bulletin on a board that said that they were hiring at the Grand Canyon for summer jobs, and I hadn't been able to get a job after getting a master's degree in psychology. I hadn't been able to get a job anywhere in Oklahoma. And so I applied to work at Grand Canyon.
And this was about 1970?
This would be 1972.
Okay.
And I, so I got hired as a dishwasher.
Okay.
Even though I had applied for some higher jobs, but that's what I got hired as. So, I took the job and they said I had to cut my hair, so I went and cut my hair, and then took the bus from Oklahoma City to Flagstaff, and then from Flagstaff I got on the Navajo bus that came up here up to the Grand Canyon. Anyway, in that, once I got to the canyon, then they sent me down to the personnel office, and I walked in there, and the personnel director at the time, his name was Kent Atha, I believe, he had hair down to the middle of his back. And I said, "What is this? You know, they made me cut my hair." And he said, "Well, let me show you." And you know, they're telling me I got to cut my hair too, and that's why I'm quitting.
Oh, you're okay.
and he had this. The office was in the general office building at the time, the personnel office, and on the back of the door he had this cartoon, and it was this hippie that was he had his shirt all unbuttoned, and the collar of the shirt was all the way down to the middle of his back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Look, it's not below my collar." Anyway,
yeah.
So I got hired there as a dishwasher. And I kept trying to get the chief chef there, a guy named Gomez, Chef Gomez. I tried to get him to give me a job on the line or something, you know, because I told him the reason I was interested in working in a restaurant was so I could get some experience on restaurants, because I one of my possible daydreams was to someday become someday own a restaurant. But anyway,
well, let me ask the question before you get into this. Did he, when you sat down and met with the human resource person with the long hair, what did he say anything about your legally blind status at that point?
No, he didn't.
Do you think, was he even aware of it?
Maybe not.
Okay, so at this point, you know, you get hired as a dishwasher, you go down, and you kind of let the chef, the cook, whatever his title was down there, know that you would be interested in learning about that.
Yeah, and so I started working as a dishwasher, and I other dishwashers came and went. You know, the people often would work until they got their first paycheck, and then they'd leave.
Okay.
And but I stayed, you know, because I wanted to know about, you know, about being working in a restaurant, and I stayed, and they and kept reminding this Chef Gomez that I wanted, you know, a better job, and he'd go, okay, son. He always called me son. Yeah, okay, son. Well, I'll give you, you'll get a better job, and then eventually it's, you'll get a better job once the summer's over and things aren't so busy. So I worked as a dishwasher all the way through October, and it started slowing down, and so I asked him again, can I get a better job so I can learn some more? And he said, I'll make you a steward, a kitchen steward. And so I said, okay, well, what? He said, the only job, the only kitchen steward job we have now is at night. So you would start at 10 p.m. and you'd finish at 4 a.m. And so they showed me all the things I had to do, which was basically clean up the kitchen after a day's work, which meant, you know, rolling up the rug. There's a big rubber mat in behind the line, and I had to roll that up and put it on a trolley and take it out to the garage and open it up and spray it down with hot.
And this is like after
water.
10 p.m. at night you're doing this?
Yeah, this is all after 10.
Wow.
And I had to run all the filters through the dishwasher and all this sort of stuff. So anyway, but I wasn't getting a better job than that. And I didn't like working at night at all. So I told him I was... before he made me a chef, that's right. Before he made me a steward, he gave me some days off, and that was the first time I'd gotten 2 days off in a week.
Wow!
And I went all the way to the North Rim and back. But of course, I got to the North Rim to see what Canyon looked like from the North Rim, and by the time I got there, it was snowing.
Oh.
So you could only see about 10 feet into the canyon.
How well were you seeing then?
I was seeing fairly well. I mean, I couldn't see well enough to get a driver's license. I was about maybe 2,500, maybe.
I don't know what that is in terms. It's 2020 is the best,
okay,
right?
From 20 feet away, I could see what people with good vision could see 500 feet away. But I couldn't see But I couldn't see that. I couldn't see what they could see that was 500 feet away, even from 20 feet.
Okay.
So, anyway, I think that's what that means. Anyway,
but you could certainly see to do work up close at this point.
Yes.
That was not a problem.
Yeah, yeah, I could.
And in terms of hiking at this point, was it pretty easy to see the trail and all that?
I could see the maintained trails just fine. The unmaintained trails were a little more difficult to follow.
Okay.
Because they aren't as clear as the maintained trails are.
And being that you were a Phantom Ranch employee, of course, you'd want to go on unmaintained trails probably too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got down the Hermit Trail, and I got down the, the Grandview Trail.
Okay.
Yeah, I was able to do it across the Tonto Trail. So, I mean, it took me longer because I couldn't, you know, I'd get to a place where I couldn't find the trail, and I had a way of zigzagging, trying to find the trail after where I left it.
Uh-huh.
And then until I found it. And then I'd walk along a little further, and then if I lost it again, I'd have to do the zigzagging again.
So this was like well before people were using, you know, hiking poles regularly back in the early 70s. I don't think you saw them as commonly as you do now.
Right.
Did you ever use any kind of a hiking pole?
I didn't. No, I didn't use a hiking pole then at the very first. I had really thick glasses. Like Coke bottle bottom type thick glasses. I mean, I had had a cataract operation, which basically they took out my natural lenses out of my eyes.
Okay.
And they didn't know what would happen with artificial lenses at the time, so they didn't dare put them in. So I didn't have any lenses in my eyes. So
wow.
I needed a really, really thick glasses. And then I also had this, I call it a loop. It's a little magnifying glass mm-hmm. type lens that hooked on my glasses. And I could push it down over my in front of my eye to read things.
Okay. And do you think today, in today's world, with what your condition was, do you think that they would have automatically put in a lens?
Yes.
After having cataracts removed?
Yeah, I think so.
And did they ever put them in after the fact, like later? Or
yeah.
They did?
Yeah, much later. Like in 1980, maybe.
Okay.
Around that.
Did it help improve anything?
Well, man, I didn't have to wear glasses anymore.
Okay.
Which was nice, but I still couldn't see all that well.
Okay.
I mean, but you know, I didn't. Cataracts weren't my main issue. My main issue was had to do with my optic nerves.
Okay.
But anyway, so.
But you don't have glaucoma, though.
No.
Okay. But it was still an optic nerve issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then you basically expressed your not being thrilled with being a steward that was working all night, basically.
Yeah. Well, I just quit that job and left. But I had a, you know, they never, I think they probably never had a dishwasher that stayed for the entire season without quitting. So
yeah.
They were willing to hire me back when I came back. So I did the next year. And, that year, they made me into, or they put me in housekeeping. And there, I was a they call that job. Anyway, I carry the clean sheets to the maid carts and keep them all stocked with everything. So that was my job and then sometimes I had to help strip beds.
And who, at this point, so this is in the mid-70s probably now?
This is in 73.
Okay, 73. Who was manager in 73, do you remember?
It was a woman named Carrie Messer.
Okay, and do you remember anything with your vision and her? In terms of what you were permitted to do and what opportunities you might have been able to?
Well, they never made me, she was never willing to promote me at all.
Okay.
And I sort of understand that. I mean, the promotion would be the next promotion would be an inspector who goes and checks out the rooms to make sure they're clean for, you know, that the maid that cleaned them actually cleaned them and
okay. That
they were clean. And that wouldn't be a good job for me.
No.
Although I often had to be a maid because they didn't have enough maids to cover the number of rooms that had to be cleaned.
So you're,
and I did a pretty good job of cleaning them.
So they felt your site was good enough to clean the rooms, but not inspect the rooms.
Right.
That's what it sounds like.
Right.
And and who knows if that's really true? Because they were clean enough, obviously. I mean, because you cleaned them.
Yeah, well...
And you didn't get a lot of complaints about your cleaning?
Yeah, no, I didn't get any complaints. The mirrors, you know, that was probably the hardest thing is making sure the mirrors were clean, but I just cleaned them all, you know, so that if they were dirty, they weren't dirty anymore.
Right,
so,
right.
And, you know, I cleaned the toilets and vacuumed the floors, and I actually took longer to clean a room than anybody else did.
Just to make sure that it was really clean.
Because I was being really careful, yeah.
But to inspect them, it would have been, you would have had to really check their work, right? And would that have been difficult?
It probably wouldn't. I don't think so. But
you could see close. You could see close enough to see if the mirrors were kind of dirty or
right.
Yeah,
I can put my hand down on the floor and see if it's dirty, and I can, feel whether the porcelain and the sinks are clean or not, and you know that sort of
right.
thing.
So where did it go from there then?
Well, and then in 1970, so I worked in 73 at the Bright Angel, and started in 74 at the Yavapai Lodge, and was working there in 75, but they were giving me 2 days off a week, so I was able to go down to the bottom, to Phantom Ranch, and get to know the people that worked down there.
Okay.
And eventually, Glenn Hogue, who is the manager of Phantom, hired me.
Okay.
For Phantom Ranch. But it was under provision that well, first of all, let me say that the job of working at Phantom Ranch at the time involved everything. I mean, you could be, the schedule basically changed every day. So one day you might be a maid, you know, cleaning rooms. One day you might be a laundry person. One day you might be a lodge person, meaning you kept the lodge clean and dealt with the garbage and the trash and all that stuff. And one day you might be a cook. And one day you might be a waiter.
And when you were hired to be a dishwasher at the very beginning, was that on the top or in Phantom Ranch?
That was on the top.
And so what restaurant was that? The Bright Angel or where?
Bright Angel, yes.
Okay, and so that Mexican cook was the one who had you working from 10 to 4 o'clock as a steward.
Yeah, that was his idea of advancing my
career.
My career, yeah.
Okay, so then so for those 71, 72, 73 years, you were working on the top and just hiking down as often as you could on your days off.
Right.
Okay. And then ultimately this manager you mentioned, what was his name again? Who let you go down to work on the bottom?
Glenn Hogue.
Glenn Hogue. And he was the manager of Phantom Ranch?
Phantom Ranch.
Okay. Right. And how did you get in front of him? How did you manage to have him?
Oh, by smoothing, you know how it goes.
Okay.
I was, you know, I come down and they got to know me, so they let me have dinner. Well, any employee on the rim could eat dinner in the back room at Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because the cook, you know, that was the only creative activity that a cook could do, you know, because the people out front just always had steak and
right.
blah, blah, blah. But they could make good food for the, or other food anyway, for the people in the back room.
Okay.
But I remember what I was going to say. So what I would do is, the way things work down there is everybody eats, and then at the same time as the dudes are eating out in front, and when the people are eating out in front, and then there's a point there where the people are finished out in front, and it's called the maid call, and they call, the waiter comes running back to the back room and says, maid call, and all the maids, all the people who are maid that day, have to drop their forks if they're still eating. And go out and help clear tables.
Wow.
In the front room.
Okay.
And then reset it for dessert, and then they do the same thing after dessert. But anyway, I was not an employee, but when it was maid call, I'd run out there and help.
Okay.
And then I'd also help the dishwasher, you know, the guy that was, the dishwasher by himself.
Okay.
And so I'd be on, but he really needed a person to basically rinse off the dishes and dry them and put them in put them away.
Okay.
And so that was so I ran back there and helped the dishwasher do all that stuff. But anyway, that kind of thing, you know, and Glenn. The manager noticed that, and the other people said, hey, yeah, he's a good guy, you know, hire him. And so he did. He hired me, but with the provision that all I could do was be the laundry person.
Okay.
Because he figured that, you know, taking sheets off of beds and washing sheets, you know, and towels in a laundromat in the laundry, you know, was something that I could do, and then restocking the cabins with fresh sheets so that the the maids that could make the beds and that sort of thing. So that's what I did for the whole first year.
And that would have been 1973 or 4?
75.
75, okay. So, and you, when you were working down there in the early days, whether on the rim or down below, like 71 to 73, up on top, would you go home? Would you go back to Oklahoma at certain points of the year, or did you stay all year?
I stayed all year once I was working at Phantom Ranch.
Okay, so that would have been like 73.
70, yeah. Well, it would be 75.
75, okay.
Yeah.
And prior to that, you wouldn't be there year-round?
No, they, you know, because before, I don't know, it still doesn't, yeah. I'm not sure how much it happens these days, but it used to be that the visitation dropped way off in November, and then they'd lay off everybody and tell them, some of them anyway, they'd have come back for Thanksgiving, but then, come see you next year.
Type thing. That's kind of the way okay.
it went. Yeah. So, I remember one year I went hitchhiking and hitchhiked all the way up to Canada.
Wow.
And back.
So you could spend your money on the off months that you had earned and you know, hitchhike and whatnot, because you could still do that in the 70s and get to see more of America.
Right, and you know, the plus, plus, well, of course, the bars on the South Rim were always open too, so.
You could spend your money there.
I spent a lot of money there.
Okay, so we still have a little juice left. So let's start with, now you're hired, you're working, you're doing only laundry, and and did you find, was that manager, do you think that he only said laundry because of your eyesight?
Yes.
Okay, so that kind of just, and he told you that, basically.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so then...
Yeah, because everybody else was on a rotating schedule.
But you were not.
But I was not, right.
Okay, and so... Starting in 75, were you down on the bottom year-round or no?
Yes, I was down on the bottom year-round.
Okay, and so at what point were you finally freed from doing only laundry?
When the manager changed.
And who was the next one?
The next manager was Terry Mache.
Okay, and so she was willing to give you a chance to do other things.
Right.
And there was no Americans with Disability thing back then, or was there? I don't remember when that thing came in.
I don't know.
We'd have to look it up on the computer.
But anyway, in fact, she even asked me if I wanted to cook.
Okay.
Which is kind of the star job down there, of course.
Okay.
And I said, well, I'll try it. And I did. I think I probably cooked for, you know, for, maybe 3 or 4 periods of, the cooks would cook for 3 or 4 days at a time.
Okay.
You know, to get in, you know, but... But yeah, so I was even cooking the steaks and, you know, the potatoes and corn and all the stuff that goes out front,
and
as
you could,
well as cooking for the staff in the back.
And so, I mean, your eyesight was good enough to see for cooking, right?
I was good enough to see pretty well. I mean, there was a guy, what is his name? Oh, shoot, I can't think. Lopez. He was the chief of maintenance, and he was always telling funny stories and things like that. But he used to tell the story about coming into the kitchen when I was cooking and saying, "Keith, you're using a fly swatter to flip the steaks."
Just to try to pull your leg.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I wasn't using a fly
swatter. No, of course not. But he would, mess with you.
But, yeah, so...
So you did that for how long were you in the kitchen?
It would be like maybe three or four days at a time.
Okay.
But it was, we'd change, the other chips, other people would change into it and out of it.
And did you do something else on those days that you weren't cooking, or were those your days off?
Oh yeah, the days that I wasn't cooking, I'd be either a maid or a cabinet cleaner. Well, either a maid or a the guy that the lot. That was called the lodge. That job, which was dealing with all the trash and the, burning the burnables, and packing up the others, for the, putting away groceries and the when the mules came and that sort of stuff. That was another job, or the waiter. I wait tables.
Okay.
And that was for a waiter. That was fairly easy, although you had to move quick.
Right. And you couldn't get frazzled,
No, you can't get frazzled. But, everybody's eating the same thing.
Right, so it's not that hard, right?
Yeah, you just basically, when they run out of mashed potatoes, you grab the potato bowl and run back into the kitchen and get another full bowl of mashed potatoes and take it out to the dining room, the fun part there was that the waiter has to give a speech kind of between lunch and between the main meal and dessert. And the speech, you just have to cover a few things like, when breakfast is in the morning and when they'll wake you up, when they'll wake you up and when... and to watch out for the irrigation ditches.
So you don't fall in them in the middle of the night type thing. Okay.
And, that was a little, just a little talk that you had to give, but I started adding little stories to it, which at times I got the entire dining room laughing and practically rolling on the floors of the... Because I do things like I'd show them the Kaibab Shuffle, for example.
Which is people after they've hiked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
And this is well before you were doing interpretive.
Yeah.
But still you had a storyteller in there.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right, so we're... 33 minutes, and it's 19, basically 75-ish now, right?
Uh-huh.
So I think this is maybe a good place to stop.
Well, now it's getting 77, 78.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we could talk a few more minutes if you wanted to do...
Okay.
Like, kind of finish the 70s. Terry was replaced by Bob...
Don Weir.
Uh-huh. And he, how did that go with in terms of your vision, in terms of respect or lack of respect?
Well, when he came down, he was a Montana cowboy.
Right.
With all of the prejudices that people tend to have.
Mm-hmm.
And
he'd probably never been around a legally blind person in his life, right?
Right. And he was apparently told by the manager of transportation, which was what Phantom Ranch was under, to get rid of me. To get rid of me and Roy Starkey.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, we were a bad, gave it a bad reputation because we were, you know, I was blind and Roy was a little slow at keeping up on stuff.
But he was also an older person, you know?
He was, yeah.
And, you know.
And he was good at it. Yeah. You know, what he did, he was good at. You know, he was, you know, he kept the irrigation ditches running, you know, kept the trees green, kept the electricity running.
Right, and, I mean, he did a lot. We know that he did a lot. And,
yeah.
But yet this transportation manager had it out for him and you.
Mm-hmm.
And who was that person?
God, I can't remember his name. All I know is he used to be a bus driver for Navajope.
Okay.
And, yeah, I don't know how he got into that position, but, yeah, and then he ended up, after Don Weir, he hired this woman who was, just a real battle axe. I mean, she was always trying to fire us all. And then we had a general manager on the rim who made friends with his family. I can't remember what they were called, what their names were.
Oh, these were the spies or something?
Yeah, and they were spies.
Yeah,
they,
you told.
They kept trying to
sneak
into the back room and, you know, and get us to drink and things like that.
So this battle axe woman came after Don.
Yeah, it was after Don.
Was she there very long?
It seemed like it, but it was only a couple of years, probably.
And what did she try to pigeonhole you at all into certain positions, or no?
No, I don't remember her actually trying to get me. And specifically, but she was after anybody that she could, you know, because by this time, Phantom Ranch is getting this reputation of being a bunch of hippies that, they need to hire a bunch of straight people to straighten them out and get rid of them. You know, so
she's trying to kind of clean up the image.
Yeah, exactly.
And Roy Starkey, okay, if we're getting close to the late 70s, he's still there, right?
Yes.
And so she hasn't managed to get rid of him.
No.
And no. Really the only way he left was when the sister got involved, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cut it there, I think. Let's end it there. And so we know that we left off at the point where you guys are both still there. This woman who was a battle axe, who we don't know her name, who replaced Don Weir, was trying to clean up the image. And but you were not, she didn't try to prevent you from doing any particular job. She let you do your work, even though she may not have really liked the crew that much.
Right.
Okay.